This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Governor Charlie Baker this afternoon announced the state is rolling back slightly its reopening to phase three, step one. That includes restrictions like closing food courts, requiring masks all the time at workplaces, and closing indoor performance venues. Here's the governor.
With our hospital system straining to keep up with the sharp increase in severely ill patients, we have to do more. And effective this Sunday, the Commonwealth will move every community in Massachusetts back to phase three, step one. This will reduce indoor capacities across a broad range of sectors of the economy and tighten several other workplace restrictions.
Now, this comes as we head deeper into the surge and with a vaccine rollout coming maybe as early as the weekend. We have a panel of medical experts here with us today, so let's talk. What are your reactions to these latest measures? Are you ready for a vaccine and will you take it? What else needs to happen for you to feel safe? And what do you need to know about the coronavirus now today? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got a terrific panel for you. Joining us is Dr. Mark Seidner, a clinical epidemiologist at Massachusetts General Hospital and an associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. Also with us is Lenny Marcus, who is the founding co-director of the National Preparedness Leadership Initiative, which is a joint program of the Harvard Chan School of Public Health and the Kennedy School of Government. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have you both. And again, let me just put that number out one more time for our listeners, 1-800-423-8255. There is a lot of pandemic news to cover. It really does feel like we're moving, you know, day by day into new territory, or in some ways, it almost feels like old spring territory. Dr. Seidner, what are your reactions to the level of measure that Governor Baker decided to put in place today?
Yeah, I think you're going to be pretty hard-pressed to find public health experts who will be disappointed with the direction of this decision. On the other hand, you might find at least a handful who think this might not have gone far enough. You know, our research group and many others actually demonstrated pretty clearly that statewide measures like these really do help reduce cases, reduce hospitalizations and deaths. But I don't envy the governor's position. I mean, there's tens of thousands of people in the state, in the service industry, and at this point of the epidemic and in the year, there really isn't much federal support for workers or for businesses if they close. Unemployment funding is drying up, and we know food security is high. So I think this decision really shouldn't be taken too lightly. I think on one side, I'd say hospitalizations are, you know, 1,500 or so statewide. That's a 50% increase in the last 2 weeks. And for those who say it's still 50% less than it was at its peak, which is true, I think we should remember that we went from 1,500 cases to 4,000 cases in less than 2 weeks back in April. And it also takes time for people to become infected to develop a need for hospitalization. So I really think the question remains here: were these measures enough? And if not, when and why would the governor pull the trigger on gun grade restrictions?
So, Lenny, let me actually invite you, Lenny Marcus, to answer Dr. Seidner's questions just there.
Well, in some ways, this is a situation of deja vu all over again. We had these sorts of numbers back in April, early in the pandemic. We learned a great deal from the close downs that happened at the time. People, to a large extent, cooperated. Here in Massachusetts, we did see a large percentage of the population wearing masks. That's critically important. And a tone was set early on that had a significant impact. In fact, Massachusetts was one of the leaders in the country on being proactive about these closings and being proactive about population collaboration and cooperation with these measures. And in many ways, we've got to go back and do it again. We're going into the winter months. We're after what looks like a bump from Thanksgiving. So this is a step in the right direction. The question is whether people in Massachusetts are willing to cooperate, whether they're willing to wear masks. We saw back right after the Boston Marathon bombings that people here in Massachusetts really can get on board in the midst of a crisis. And in many ways, what we need today is that same degree of getting on board, facing the crisis, and then together doing everything we can to reduce the spread of the disease and the hospitalizations.
You know, we are hearing so much in the media, in social media, and conversations back and forth about the tension between what cities and towns and state officials ought to do to curb behavior, provide restrictions, and this set of personal responsibilities that we have as a member of a community to each other to keep each other safe. Dr. Seigner, from a public health perspective, does history come down on one side of that tension or the other?
Well, I think what we've learned is that it's really difficult to paint this as a black and white issue. I think there are bad actors out there, and I think that public responsibility is critical, and that public messaging is critical, and that there are people out there that aren't playing by the rules and having indoor events and probably almost definitely increasing risk, not for themselves only, but for the rest of the community. On the flip side of that, you know, these restrictions have been in place, and there's a whole host of people that really don't have a choice. You know, restaurant workers need to come to work, and restaurant eating is by nature people spending long periods of time indoors in the winter with masks off, and asking people to make decisions between coming to work and providing for their families and potentially not getting infected when they don't have unemployment insurance and their businesses aren't being supported, I think is an impossible decision asking people to make. And I would say that I do think the governor has tried his best to try to get people to use personal responsibility to reverse this epidemic. And what I think we've seen over the last few weeks is a massive spike in cases, now a pretty massive spike in hospitalizations. And I don't think personal responsibility over the last few weeks has been enough to get us to where we need to be. And so there has to be a line drawn somewhere. And I do think we're quickly approaching that, because if we get to a place where ICUs do fill up, our ability to take care of people, not just with COVID, but also with other conditions, strokes, heart attacks, car accidents, is going to decrease to dangerously low levels.
All right. Thanks for that. I think we're ready to go to the phones, 800-423-8255. We've got Josh on the line from Hamilton. Josh, go ahead.
Hi. I'm just wondering, the technology that's behind this vaccine seems to be a little bit different from what I'm hearing on the news. How is it similar or different from, say, the flu vaccine or other vaccines we've had in the past?
Thanks for that call, Josh. Which of you would like to take that one on?
I'm happy to field that. The other person may also have comments. But so historically speaking, most vaccines have been inactivated vaccines. So what we do is we take the pathogen, whether it be a virus or a bacteria, and we remove the parts of that which cause disease, the parts of it that make people sick. We still introduce it to the human body. The human body makes a response to that, an immune response, usually by developing these things called antibodies, which will protect us if we get infected in the future. Both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines don't use that technology. They use something called mRNA, which is our body's own ability to take something and develop a protein. So both of these vaccines basically trick our bodies into producing the protein on the outer surface of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Our body again gets fooled into thinking it's being exposed to the virus, even though it hasn't been. It's just been exposed to proteins that we're now making, and develops that same immune response, so that when we do get exposed or infected in the future, our body can recognize it, it can quickly control the virus, and we don't experience disease. mRNA vaccines are a technology that have been in the works for 20 or 30 years, but there isn't a prior record of an mRNA vaccine being used in humans, just because it's relatively new and there hasn't been a situation like this. What I can say is we now have two extremely well done studies by both Pfizer and Moderna in tens of thousands of people, which really unequivocally at this point demonstrate that this vaccine seems to protect people against COVID-19 disease. I think these results have been well beyond our expectations and incredibly reassuring.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Marcus, excuse me, yes.
Yeah, it'll be really important for the scientific community to be transparent and open with the population so that people really do understand what this vaccine is about, their questions are answered. If there are problems regarding safety, that there'll be transparency with that as well, because it's going to be critically important that we get cooperation from the population to get vaccinated, to follow the protocols, and hopefully to get us on the other side of this pandemic together.
Yeah, let's stay on that for a second, because coming a little bit later in the program, we're going to talk with Michael Curry of the Statewide Association of Community Health Centers about a mass ink poll that came out today that shows that most people will take the vaccine, but many of them would like to go second, not first, because there are concerns about safety and historic distrust among some populations, including populations of color in Massachusetts, with the healthcare system. Lenny Marcus and Dr. Seidner, I'd like to hear both from both of you very concrete steps that leaders in our communities can take to increase confidence in the vaccine and the uptake on it as quickly as possible. Maybe Dr. Seidner, I'll turn to you first.
Thank you. So it's an critically important question. And actually, I'd say that in some ways, the science has done its job, but the science may be at this point the easy part. The goal now is to figure out ways to interface with the community through public health messaging, through trusted leaders, through trusted thought leaders, so that people can get their questions answered, so that people can come to terms and understand what should they expect from this vaccine in terms of local reactions, in terms of minor reactions, what are the risks associated with it? What are the benefits? And those messages can't necessarily come from vaccine makers. And because of how fraught I think public messaging has been, it may not be able to come from our government either. We need now a buy-in from our trusted leaders in society to take over this campaign. Because now that these vaccines are developed, as Dr. Marcus just mentioned, there's a huge difference between a vaccine and vaccination. And we need to get these, what I think, believe to be, based on the data that have been reported, these safe and efficacious vaccines to communities in need, including communities that for hundreds of years, frankly, in our country, have not been provided adequate healthcare service or access. We need to make sure that their thought leaders are involved in helping to engender trust, getting people's questions answered, and making sure that we convert what I think is a true scientific discovery, the likes of which we haven't seen in my lifetime, to actual public health benefit by making sure that the right people get access and ultimately get vaccinated.
Lenny Marcus, I do want to give you a chance to add on, but before we do, I'd like to pick up a call and give you a chance to respond to it as well. So 800-423-8255. We've got Elle on the line from Newton. Elle, go ahead.
Hi. I was just wanted to comment on the Mass governor, Governor Baker, and I don't understand why he's been so hesitant to take action. Why not close indoor dining and then give some support to those restaurants as opposed to keeping indoor dining open? I've walked by restaurants where there's 30 or 40 people eating inside, talking, for hours. So what is driving his hesitance to actually do something to protect us?
Thank you for that, Ellen. I will clarify for listeners that as part of the governor's order today, restaurants will go from 10 people at a table to 6 people at a table and a maximum of 90 minutes inside dining. Okay, Lenny Marcus, back to you. Thank you.
Well, that's a really important question. It's a question that we're all facing. We would love to see our society open up. We would love to see people go back to work. We would love to be able to go to restaurants and to go to gatherings and be together. And there is that tension of getting the economy back and moving, along with the need to recognize that the community spread has been increasing enormously. The impact on people in our population, the impact on hospitals can't be ignored. So there's a tension. And what the governor and other political leaders are seeking to do is to drive a balance in that tension such that people, as Dr. Seidner earlier said, can go to work, but not put others at danger. You know, the other thing I think, just to go back to the question of vaccinations, we study leaders in times of crisis. And we define leadership in times of crisis as people follow you. So it's not simply a matter of establishing the science, as Dr. Seidner said, which has been established. But it's going to be important to see political leaders publicly taking the vaccine. Former presidents, President Obama and Bush, for example, have committed to taking the vaccine in public. Faith-based leaders, community leaders, business leaders, the way we're going to convince people that this is safe and this is effective and that this will help us to round the curve, truly round the curve, in getting us behind, putting the pandemic behind us and beginning to open up society safely, it's going to take leadership at all levels of society. So with that, we'll be able to slowly see our economy come back into bloom.
So, Dr. Seidner, in our remaining time, so we just heard Lenny Marcus lay out really a leadership prescription for how we as a community encourage people to and really have big uptake on the vaccine to get us around this corner. In the meantime, how are you feeling about our ability to manage the surge that we have at hand? I guess I wonder, are we reaching a point where we have a tiger by the tail, or are we still at a point where we can take steps as a human community here in the Commonwealth to curb what's going on right now?
You know, I think it's going to take a combination of these approaches. We have put our faith in the public to wear masks, to physically distance, to do everything in their power to help reduce cases amongst them, their communities, their families, and really to keep in mind that every time we take actions that aren't in line with these recommendations, we're putting people at risk. And we can now see that because our hospitals are full and deaths of COVID-19 are back up. But I think you'll find that most people in the public health community also feel that given the numbers we're seeing in hospitals, given the flu season on its way, given the fact that we're all going to be indoors for the next few months, and given the fact that these vaccines, however promising, are not going to be available to the general public for at least 3 to 6 months, that further restrictions are likely going to be needed. And I think we should be prepared for those now. I think they shouldn't be done unless they're necessary because of mm-hmm. the secondary economic, you know, detriment they cause. But we need to
I'm
be
sorry,
prepared.
I'm sorry, Dr. Seidner. I'm so sorry. I have to stop you there. That's Dr. Mark Seidner of Mass General and Lenny Marcus of the Kennedy School of Government. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.